Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. My name is James Stevens, Racing Post journalist and West Country correspondent. I'm thrilled to be taking the reins from Sam Hart for this week's show and the rest of the jump season. And what a time to start. It is the return of Cheltenham, but fear not, there's still good flat racing to come. We've got a Group 1 to preview at Doncaster, the final one of the season. And I've assembled a top-class panel for the show. We've got Unibet's Ed Nicholson, Racing Post tipster Graham Wadway, and handicapper Johnny Pearson. But before we get stuck into the action, a very quick shout-out to Sam Hart, an excellent host on the show for a number of years, moving on, but sorely missed from us. So well done, Sam, for all those fantastic years of service and a few good winning tips along the way. So the jumps is back, and we're going to come to you first, Ed. I mean, you've been down to see Mr. Henderson, Nicky Henderson's stable tour. We can't wait to hear more from him, surely.
Yeah, James, it's always a great honour to go down to Seven Barrows at the start of the season. So much hope and so much expectation down there. We've done a full preview for the season, speaking to Nicky himself about his thoughts. And the videos are going to be hitting the airwaves soon, probably Friday or Saturday this week, just ahead of the big Cheltenham meeting. So, yeah, plenty of information to be passed on and some interesting thoughts. He has a couple of things to say about novice handicap chases, for example, that I'm sure you'll be interested in with your journalistic hat on, James. So, yeah, I wish everyone could look at it on Friday and Saturday because it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And just with that as well, Big Jump was out in Monday's newspaper. All the content available on, really worth checking that out if you're a Jumps fan. So let's crack straight into it. It's Cheltenham where we start. The ground is good. We're racing on the old course and we start with a 2.5 mile novice handicap chase, which I suppose, I'll come to you first, Graham. It's quite fitting we're starting with a 2.5 mile novice handicap chase because for the first time this year since 2021, we're going to have one of those at the Cheltenham Festival. Who do you like in Saturday's novice handicap chase? And firstly, did they make the right decision adding that back into the Cheltenham Festival roster?
Absolutely, yeah, I think so, James. I mean, it's possibly sacrilege to say it, but I found the Cheltenham Festival quite dull in the last couple of years with Willie Mullins just mopping up graded race after graded race with stars. I know you can look at it the other way, and some people like to look at it that way and go, well, you know, you should appreciate all these great horses being able to see. But I don't want to see them all hacking up odds on and short prices. I want to see competition, races that I can have a good bet on, competitive races, and putting on a handicap, novices handicap chase like they're going to at the festival, like we used to have, which was always one of the best betting races of the week anyway, I think is a fantastic step forward. So I'm all for the changes, James. In this one, I fancy one a big price. I mean, I'm taking a bit of a chance on John McConnell coming good this weekend. He's got a really good record at Cheltenham, hasn't he? I think he's 9 winners over the last 5 years from 50 runners, according to these statistics. So that's 18%. And he's got some really big priced horses running there on Saturday, and one in here called Andy's Flame, who I didn't think ran too badly last time out. He's a point winner in his previous life when he was not under rules. Then loads of runs over hurdles. They finally got him chasing under rules, and he made a promising debut behind also Rebecca Menzies last time. The time of that race was pretty solid at Downpatrick. Obviously, he's going to need to improve significantly, but I just can't have these McConnell horses going off at massive prices, and a lot of them are going to. So I'm going to kick off with one at a big old price, James, and that's Andy's Flame.
33-1, the rank outsider of a lot. What a way to start, Graham. Take that, Andy's Flame for Graham. Johnny, I'll ask you the same question. Surely a handicapper likes handicaps, no?
Not so much novice chasers this time of year. They're notoriously tricky to get right. But, and you know, you don't know, you know, you've got Lord of Thunder, you know, fairly well found in the betting, but, you know, hasn't actually run over fences yet. So, you know, what, you know, how's he going to find it? He could do really well, but he might just, his jumping might not be up to scratch. And on that basis, I'm going to chance Nicky Henderson's Will Carver here. Looked really good on both chase starts to date. And, you know, on the form we've seen so far, I think he's got to have a really good chance. Had a wind up. If he's fit enough, having not run since June, I think he should be right thereabouts at the finish.
Okay, so that's Will Carver for Johnny. Ed, any insight on the 10-1 shot from the Henderson camp?
Well, I was with Nicky at Kempton over the weekend, and he had a few runners at that meeting. It was the first time the jumpers for winter had gone to post for Nicky. He's had a few ticking over for summer racing, and they all looked a bit like short of a gallop to me, especially like Persian Time and what have you. And I know Will Carver's been out, but it's been a few days since his last run. So I'll be watching Nicky's horses this meeting. He told me he had like 8 or 9 entered. He's taken half of them out. So the ones that he's left are obviously those that are more forward, I would have thought. He's a good horse. I know that they're going to run him at the Unibet Jump season opener meeting, but they took him out at the last moment. Nicky's chasers, they're not as good as his hurdlers. I'll come to it later on, but he's got an unbelievable stat with especially staying handicap chasers. You think he'd be mopping those races up, but he tends to do better with his hurdlers. So I'm looking elsewhere for this race. And I know Lord of Thunder's been touted by people, but he has yet to run over fences, has he? So, and I think that's quite a difficult thing to do to come to Cheltenham first time and win over fences. I know probably a few trainers I know think that Cheltenham and Ascot are the two hardest courses to go to first time out with a chaser. But I respect his chance. He's obviously kind of a horse that they expect to go on to greater things, and has been well backed so far. But I'm going to be a bit boring and go for the favourite, although it is 5-1. And Guard Your Dreams just looks like a horse that the Twist and Davises do really well at. They love these handicap chases at Cheltenham. I mean, they're quoted as saying they go where the money goes. And this horse has been running in races sponsored by bookmakers nearly all his life. I think apart from his last race, his last 5 were bookmakers sponsored. So that's where the money is this kind of season. And Guard Your Dreams previously had won the Unibet International. He had a bad season last year. He's 5th of 5 in the Unibet hurdle. He then finished down the card in the Coral Cup. Didn't do very well later on, but he came back and he won over fences at Warwick, I think it was. Just getting home by nose. I mean, it wasn't pretty. I watched the replay a couple of times and he has gone up. But that's the thing, in the handicap, he was 147 horse. Only a year and a half ago. He won that race off 132, maybe. He's now 136. On his old form, and given that we know he can jump, I think he's thrown in. I'm going to go with Guard Your Dreams. And this is a money-back second or third race. So bear that in mind if you are having a bet with Unibet. At 9 a.m., money back on Saturday. Money back as cash if your horse finishes second or third. And please do check the site for T's and C's. But, yeah, it's a real competitive race, isn't it? I don't know if I've got the right one, but I know I've got a well-handicapped horse on my side.
Yeah, absolutely. And kudos to you for possibly the weirdest stat I've ever heard about running in bookmaker-sponsored races. But Guard Your Dreams, the favourite there for Ed. We move on to the second, a novice hurdle. And I think this shows the dominance of the Irish trainers of what's to come. Just one British trained horse entered of 5 running, and it's led the market by Milforce at 2-1. Johnny, start of you know this Irish form inside out. Have they got the right favourite of Milforce, who's been seems to be pretty well back this morning since the Dex?
Yeah, I thought you might ask me that. I actually think Fine Margin's got a much better chance on what they've done today. You know, you take out that Worcester run and the Leopardstown run, they're the 2 runs on soft ground. But you look at his 3 runs on good ground, okay, it's lesser quality racing in theory against lesser horses. But he's 1 on 3 of those fairly comfortable on decent ground, and back to good ground here. I think he'll actually prove better than the rest. I'm not mad on the form of Milforce. For all Gavin Cromwell, you know, did very well at his meeting last season or last year as well. Just think he's got a bit to find. I think intense approach, you know, good at Chepstow last time, behind Flying Fortune, you obviously. Obviously, we know he's won quite a few in a row now, hasn't he? But I think the Willie Mullins horse, at the prices especially, it's got to have quite a decent chance of it.
Okay, so it's Fine Margin for Johnny, centre 2 shot, and a bit of boost for you here, Johnny. Willie Mullins has had one runner at the October meeting at Cheltenham, and he's a winner. So who knows? Go to you, Graham. You Fine Margin as well, or something else?
No, John McConnell again for me. intense approach this time. Again, this is a race that McConnell targets. He's won it, twice in the last 4 years. And this also has got the best form, hasn't he, intense approach? No doubt about it. I mean, that run last time out at Chepstow, I think, is the best piece of form on offer in this race. He was going down in trip that day. I'm not entirely sure that would have suited him. He stepped up to 3 miles here. And I think that if he repeats the Chepstow performance, he's going to be devilishly difficult to beat. We know he comes in obviously fit and firing, and we know that this race will have been the target. So another one for John McConnell, intense approach here, James.
Yeah, 85 to 40 intense approach. Ed, siding with either of the boys?
Well, I couldn't really work this race out. I honestly didn't really have a strong fancy. So I'll give a tip, but I'm not having a bet myself in it because I just think it drove me mad looking at the runners and the form. I mean, the McConnell horse has obviously got a great chance, intense approach, after finishing second in the Unibet Persian War. But that was and I can say this because we sponsor it. It wasn't a particularly great renewal. Flying Fortune won it off a rating of 1-2-1. We've had many better horses than Flying Fortune get well beaten in that race, let alone win. Although it's a good horse, don't get me wrong, he's not as I don't look forward to him running over hurdles like I've looked forward to horses like Captain Teague and Time Hill and those that win that race.
T-Shan, who was going to run as well, of course.
Yeah, and so I've got a little bit. I kind of treating the form with a bit of disrespect. I'm interested in what Graham says about McConnell, the trainer, but he's totally out of form. He's only had one winner in the last 43 days, apparently. 43 runs in 14 days.
Is that a worry for you, Graham?
It would worry me if it was a bigger trainer, but I just think with McConnell, he's the sort of guy, isn't he, who's just going to show up at Cheltenham with a bunch of chances like he's got this week, and then suddenly it could all take off for him. So I'm not too worried about the stable form, no.
Yeah, I would also say that there's a lot of those horses are big prices. There were 300 to ones and 50s and 66s, so let's put that into context. But that did worry me a little bit. So anyway, I'm waffling on, but I'm going to go for Fine Margin for much of the reasons already been expressed for this race. I think the last race, you can put it down to soft ground. He doesn't like soft ground, apparently, and he's put in some good performances over here in the UK for Paddy Mullins, and he takes a ride again. So, yeah, but I'm not strong on it at all.
I'll tell you, if Mullins wins this one, I think we might as well give up now, right? We, I mean, where does Fine Margin sit in the pecking order of Mullins, his novice hurdlers? If he's coming over and winning this race without you, yeah, we might as well give up.
Yeah, it's certainly a sign of things to come. I don't know if any of you read Chris Cook's front runner this week, which just gave some of the numbers about Willie Mullins and his sort of interest in having more runners in Britain. And this is a pretty big sign, I think, that of what's to come for the rest of the season, and what is to come for the rest of the season. A lot of big 3-mile handicaps, and we've got a cracking one on Saturday. William Hill committed to top price handicap chase worth $100,000, and we've got the old Cheltenham friend Broadway Boy. And Ed, you've got us a super boost on the favourite 3-1. He is on the site. What are you doing for us?
Yeah, well, next price up from 9 o'clock on every horse in the race, so it's not just Broadway Boy, it's okay. Every horse in the race. You'll get the next price up on the ladder from 9 a.m. But it is on Saturday, so you have to wait until Saturday. It's a good race, isn't it? It's a fantastic race. Good to see some of the old favourites back over the 3-mile, 1-furlong distance on the old course. But there's a horse who hasn't been around for that long. He's only 6, but he seems like he's been around forever because he's been running all the big handicap chases last season, and that's Broadway Boy. I still can't get over the fact on his very first run at Market Raisin in a novice hurdle, I was on at 4-1. He went off evens and he got beat. I don't normally like backing him because I'm thinking, you know, I have that in the back of my memory. I don't know how he got beat. If you look at that race, he's just unbelievable given where he is now. But he loves Cheltenham. He loves Cheltenham, doesn't he? I think he's been 4 times around here, 2 on the new course, 2 on the old course. His form figures are 1-2-1-1. You can bet your bottom dollar that they'll have him straight ready for this race at Twiston Davises. They love to win these big handicaps. I think you can forgive his last run in the Grade 1 race at Aintree. He was taken on and his jumping went to pot, and it was almost all over before it started. So on a track that he likes, I think he'll go really well. We have to take it on board that he's fit and raring to go, but I think he will be. But it's a good race, and there's a lot of horses there that have got a chance to kind of shoot him down. But I think he's well worth his position at the top end of the market. And he was one of the selections for the Cheltenham Festival, many an expert, wasn't he? But he had a lung infection, so he missed that. But I think he's held in such high regard. He's only 6. He can only get better. And he needed to be as well, because he is rated 149 now. But I still think he will.
Yep. Okay, so Broadway Boy 3-1 fab for Ed. Graham, what do you like here?
This race is all about like who's going to be right for this race, isn't it? Rather than like the most exciting horse in the race, if you know what I mean? Because a lot of these are going to have bigger targets down the road, aren't they? Horses like Lemilos and Does He Know, and you know, you just wonder whether that's the day for these horses or whether they're going to be going on to bigger and better things. Vanillier, obviously, another one. I think this will be the day for Broadway Boy because obviously Twist and Davis always targets these early season races and he's got plenty of form around Cheltenham, hasn't he, Broadway Boy? But the one that I think is overpriced is Kinondo Quetu for Sam and Jonathan England. It's been running really well over the summer in races that are working out well. I mean, he won quite a hot contest, was it, at Worcester? A couple of starts ago. He finished second last time out, Perth, I think it was. And the winner has won since. And the fourth was Del Dundalk, I think, who won the other day at Carlisle. So the form of that race has worked out really nicely too. We know that he goes on good ground. And what I like about him is he's the now horse, isn't he? We know that he's fit and well and he's going to be ready to run now, whereas a lot of these aren't going to be coming in with that sort of thing to them. A lot of them are going to have bigger targets down the line. So I think what's going to be double figure odds, if you back Kinondo Quetu each way, I'd be disappointed if you're not picking up on a place at the very least, dear James.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Shout Kinondo Quetu at 16-1. And I suppose, Graham, it's sun is shining outside my window. It's going to be very sort of good, proper good ground. God knows how, given how much rain we've had, but that's going to be important. And this horse absolutely loves it, having run through the summer. Johnny, finish us off. What do you like here?
This looks as tricky as race as any. You know, as Graham said, it's who's going to be right on the day. I think a lot of these are going to have bigger targets further down the line, the likes of Nationals. And then you've also got the likes of some of the sort of 9-10-year-olds up against, most 9-year-olds up against the younger 6-year-olds, such as Broadway Boy and Some Scope. You know, on bare form, Does He Know would have a good chance. And Kim Bailey saw something running badly, but I wouldn't fancy taking a chance on today, on Saturday even. I'm not going to be having a bet in the race. But I think one in there that is interesting going forward through the season, I think is likely to need the run, is Unanswered Prayers. I think he's sort of progressively improved constantly through last season. And if he gets his ground on the right trip, I think he could be one to really keep an eye on and improve onto better things this season.
Yeah, okay, Unanswered Prayers, 14-1. So a decent each way shout in the big handicap. But as you rightly say, really competitive race and so many pointers towards this the rest of the season. This meeting is always quite good, and it has been in the last few years as to look for later in the season. And with a look to later in the season, we're going to find out a few clues for the Potemps final with the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It's a qualifier for the big one in March. It was dominated by Dan Skelton this morning, who had the top three in the betting. He's got no runners in the race, so it's completely changed, and the favourite is now the Wall Park for Gordon Elliott. Graham, really tricky race. I struggled with this for quite a while. How did you find it?
Yeah, and it's another difficult one, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love these sorts of races. You know, I'd rather see these devilishly difficult handicaps with 13 runners in than you know, what we might get in a month or two's time when we've got 5 or 6 turning up. But again, yeah, a very difficult race to work out. I gave Idem a chance for Lucinda Russell. Like I said, I'm very keen on horses that I know are going to either have been targeted at this meeting or are coming in fit. And, you know, Idem does come in nice and fit after a pretty good summer campaign where he went up £9 for a win at Kelso, finished a good second last time out of Perth in a race that was running a solid enough time. And Patrick Wedge is on board claiming £3. So, like I say, it's not a confident selection, James, but I'll definitely give Idem a good chance of being in the frame, that's for sure, in this one.
Yeah, Idem 9-1, was 10-1 before with Unibet, but 9-1 now, so a little bit of support. Ed, how are you looking for this one?
Well, I quite like one here. I really like the lightly raced Zane Knights. It's a competitive race, obviously, but you get a competitive price because of that as well. And Zane Knights is a win machine at the moment. 4 from 7 over hurdles. And it comes as no surprise to those that know the horse on the flat that as soon as he's put up in distance, he started winning. He's 4th in a Cesarish trial over 2 mile 2 on the flat. And as soon as he's put up to 3 miles, he's won his 1-3. And I like the way he wins. He travels through his race really nicely. Still not the finished article. Still not jumping fluently. Wears cheek pieces. And he just wins by just a little bit each time. I think in his four wins in his career, he's won by a neck, a nose, a head. And there was one where he won by two lengths. But, yeah, mostly he just keeps staying ahead of the handicapper by just winning. And if you look at the replay of the last win at Haydock, that was just typical of him. He cruised to the lead, didn't jump very well, and then just he was always holding the winner, the second. So I think Zane Knights is an improving horse. He's won at Cheltenham on the new course, albeit, and he's only got 10 stone six. He's going up the ratings. He was 114, he's now 130, but that's still quite low, isn't it, really, in real terms? And he's got a lot of improvement in him. So Tom Cannon's won him before. I thought Zane Knights was a decent pick at a fair price.
Yep, sure. The in-form Zane Knights for Ed at 11-2. Johnny, how are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, I was sort of with Ed on this one. I was a fan of Zane Knights as well. I mean, there's a few in there you can make cases for. I think Lucy Woodham's in really good form as well. You know, the fact that the horse hasn't run since May, I wouldn't be overly concerned about. You know, you could, the Wall Park, you know, he's been running well, comes with fit, having won in September. But I think he's still got a little bit to find with Zane Knights. I think he could have his, Zane Knights could have his measure here. You know, Botox has some really good previous form, but you look at the Gary and Josh Moore form, you know, they've not had a jumps winner for 30 days, and I'd rather not be backing any of theirs at the minute. So yeah, Zane Knights for me.
Okay, Zane Knights, it's two shouts for him. I'd just give a mention talk for Gal Road for Nigel Twist and Davis. A lot of their horses going to be mentioned at Cheltenham in the next 2 days. I think this one might slip under the radar. Decent each way chance. On to the last, the Masterton's Holding Hurdle. A really good race, this 4-year-old race won by Tiger Rose, So Royale. I like to move it. We were hoping to see Khalif de Burleigh. He's not running the grounds too quick. Bottler's Secret has gone odds on. Johnny, you're quite keen on this horse, I believe.
Yeah, I think he'll win this comfortably. I thought if they'd gone, you know, following to win at Nace in February, I think if they'd gone to a Triumph, I thought he would have had a really, really good chance on that. You know, he's gone to Fairy House, won well there, run really well in behind Cargase at Punchestown. You know, beating Nürburgring, who we've seen as a Zarich or something the other day. Yeah, the Irish Zarich coming fourth there behind the Euphrates, which, you know, flat form. And, you know, the horse also won the Galway Hurdle. Yeah, the Galway Hurdle. And the form looks as good as any form in the race, actually better than any form in the race. And I think he'll win this really well.
Okay, confident selection. I mean, Punchestown form, we come to it every year. Do we trust it? Do we not? Johnny, I mean, well, can be unreliable.
Questionable, but his other form, I think, is more than good enough.
Yeah, sure. Ed, where are you looking here?
Well, two reasons why I'm not with the favourite. One, he's done all his winning on not just soft in the description, it's the whole description. So it's soft or worse ground. It's going to be, as you said, going to be better ground. Doesn't mean he can't win because he's not running it yet, so he might. But there must be a reason why he's only run on that ground. And secondly, he hasn't run for nearly 200 days, which is why I'm going. I'm going a bit like we said earlier on, and Graham mentioned, it's ready for now rather than ready for the bigger races later in the season. And if there's a horse that embodies that, it's number four, Dodge Along. I mean, he looks like a horse who's just ready now, and he's been winning now. 14 days ago, he won the Unibet Jump season opener at Chepstow. I was there, and he was one of the easiest winners of the meeting. 9 lengths on the bridle, having demolished the last two hurdles. So there's still more to come, which is good because he's got up £10 for that victory. So he's going to have to improve. He's only on 127. Harry Cobden takes the ride. And that 4-year-old race at Chepstow, sponsored by Paul Ferguson, jumpers to follow, that's a good race every year. And there may have been horses in that race that needed the run. The third, for instance, definitely.
Larry,
being run with horse with a race later on in mind. But it's the same here. You know, so there are horses here that will be... He'll come into this fit, raring to go. And I thought he was a decent bet here. I'll be very interested to see how the favourite gets on, and equally interested to see how the market goes. Because, you know, odds on at the moment, he might drift. That'll be the key. If he doesn't drift, I think then we can know that the ground's not a problem. But if he drifts, he'll still go a favourite. But if he drifts, that would be my slight worry. By the way, James, I'm happy that you're tipping up these West Country horses, because we've been used to Sam tipping up the French for the last year. So we're looking forward to you tipping up some proper jumpers from the West Country.
Well, if it was down to me, the restrictions would have me going for Dodger Long, so that would be a boost for you. Before we go on to Graham, some interesting comments on the favourite, that why Ed taking him on, Johnny. Response about A, the ground, and B, the fitness?
Well, he's not running the ground, so let's find out. Fitness, wouldn't be concerned about it till, you know, 133 break when he changed trainers. Went and won really well, gone off 6-5 and won by 11 lengths. Kevin Cromwell's no mug. And, you know, targets this meeting every year. We did something did last year, if you remember, with, you know, the likes of Florian Ports coming over and winning. And yeah, I think he'll just be too good.
He's 6-47 at Cheltenham, Gavin Cromwell. So he doesn't come over here for the fresh air. You're dead right.
No, very good record at the track last season, particularly in these early meetings. So one for Bottler's Secret, one for Dodger Long. Graham, where are you going?
I think that the favourite's the most exciting horse in the race, probably the best horse in the race, James. And like you said, I mean, Cromwell had a great record at this meeting last year. He had 3 winners and 2 seconds, I think, from memory at the October meeting. So probably will be fully wound up. But, you know, I hate to say I'm like a broken record, but John McConnell's got a runner in this race. And yet again, you know, it's a ridiculously big price. McConnell's had 2 runners in this race in the last 10 years. He won it once. In 2018 with Pearl of the West. I went and had a good look at this horse winning last time, Hasten Slowly, it's called. It was only a weak handicap at Punchestown, but I like it when horses jump off, bounce off in front, run a good time, and jump well. And that is one thing that this horse did very well last time, was he was very, very slick at his hurdles. I like it when horses run a good time from the front. I always think that you got to work hard to run a good time from the front, because you're certainly not getting a trail in, are you? I think Hasten Slowly is by no means a huge outsider in this race. So I have to go with another one for the great man, John McConnell.
Well, you're becoming top of a fan club now, I think, Graham. Hasten Slowly finishes off at 12-1. We'll be back to discuss all the top flat action on Saturday after a quick word on the Racing Post Insider. Okay, we now turn our attentions to the flat, and it is the final Group 1 of the season at Doncaster. Some really good action there, and at Newbury, providing it survives its inspection on Friday morning. But we're going to start at Doncaster, where the ground is soft, and a really intriguing opener to look at the William Hill Prospect Stakes. Some good runners here, a runner from Wafnan, Coolmore have got one in here, in Diego Ventura, and Bounty for Aidan O'Brien. Really interesting races, and it could be one, a bit of a launch pad for three-year-olds next season. Graham, we'll start with you. Tough race here, this. Which way are you leaning towards?
Yeah, very, very difficult, isn't it? James, because I almost called you Sam then. Because obviously the ground is going to be very, very testing, isn't it? So it's a bit of a guess up on who's going to act on it. But I do think Diego Ventura should go through it. I mean, he's got loads of form on soft ground, including when he was second last time behind the Waco Kid of Group 3 at Newmarket. I think that might just about be the best piece of form on offer, and he's only run 3 times. So he's obviously open to loads of improvement. He does head the market, though, and there are, of course, you know, a bunch of horses coming in from big stables like Beckett's and Aidan O'Brien, so you can never quite be sure what you're coming up against. But I think if you're looking purely from a form perspective and form on soft ground, then Diego Ventura is the one.
Okay, it's Diego Ventura 11-4 for Graham. Ed, interesting market this. I've seen Bounty as a notable drifter, 11-4 out to 100-30. Arctic Voyage, bit of support, 5-1 and 7-2. It's been an interesting market this morning already.
Yeah, it's a typical end of season flat race, isn't it, for 2-year-olds? Because you've got horses that are just coming out and have potential for next year, and you've got horses that have run 6 or 7 times that have shown a fair level of form. I mean, Love Bellotta's rated 102. and Ashim Murphy's on board, 10-1. Just looking at that horse, that would have a chance blinking for the first time. But I'm with Graham. I'm with Diego Ventura coming back down in distance, back down in class. He's already run over 6 furlongs and won a couple of times. Didn't get the best of breaks last time and still finished well. So, it's a really difficult race. You just don't know how good Bounty is, do you? One at 2-9, I think, last time. Mm. So you just don't really know. I think it's really difficult. So I won't be having a bet in this race. It's just it's impossible, really. Arctic Voyage looked good. I've watched the both runs that he's had so far. And, it looks he could be anything. And, you know, Clive Cox, first time out winner, they're always worth a second look. So, you know, fast track carry, probably better than we think it is. So, yeah, real impossible race.
Okay, sure. That's a glowing endorsement there. We're 2 out of 2 for Diego Ventura. Are you getting a hat-trick up, Johnny?
I'm probably not going to have a bet. But it was interesting you brought up La Bellotta for John Ryan. You know, the run behind Powerful Glory on Heavy at Newbury looked pretty decent form. You know, it might be let down subsequently. You know, we haven't seen enough of them come out and run since. Then, you know, you'd put a line through the Abbey. It was a bit disappointing last time, but, you know, they've gone for Ashim Murphy. They've gone for the blinkers. And the price does look quite big, but equally, probably disappointed if the likes of Diego Ventura or Fast Track Harry or Arctic Voyage couldn't improve past the horse. So it's one I'm probably not going to be having a play in, but it's definitely an interesting race.
Yeah, sure. That's a small mention then for La Bellotta, the most experienced horse in the field, I think, at 11-1. And we move on to the second at Doncaster. And if we thought that was tricky, we've got a really tough looking 5 furlong handicap at the end of the season, headed up by Blue Storm, 11-2 favourite. Really wide open race, a really good betting heat for a Saturday afternoon. You mentioned West Country horses, good old Woolhampton appearing for Rob Millman, being the star of this season. Where are we looking, Ed, to start with in this one?
Well, first of all, I'm just double checking because I haven't written it down, but we are extra place race in this race. Okay. So I'm glad I rechecked because I thought it was a bit weird that we hadn't gone because there are plenty of runners and it's 9-2, 5-1 the field. And you'll need it because once again, it's a no bet race for me. But having said that, there is an old favourite of mine in the race that I will be interested in watching. And I really hope that it wins, even if I'm not backing it, because I've tipped it on this show a couple of times before and he hasn't progressed this year. That's number 16, Aberama Gold, who handicap mark has dropped like a stone. I think he won this race last year. I think I'm right.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and he was rated 100, was he, or something along that way?
96.
Yeah, 96. He's now 83. And he has not run badly the last couple of runs. If you look at the Catterick run last time out, when it's soft going at Catterick, the one place you don't want to be is lost in the middle. And he came and made his run, which he always does because he has to be held up in the middle. And I thought he ran quite well. He came fourth. He was miles behind with 2 furlongs to go, like he does. And he couldn't really go through where the right horses were. So he had to go in the middle. And in the rate and the handicap marks with Vintage Clarets, who won that game, I think he's 2.25 lengths lost. And he's got £5 in hand. So it's there or thereabouts. And I just thought, given that he's coming to form, given that his ratings has dropped significantly at a time and on a course and on a ground that we know he wins at, it was worth a second look. But yeah, it's a really difficult race.
Okay, so last year's winner, Aberama Gold for Ed. Johnny, how do you fare here?
Yeah, I do like Aberama Gold. I just wish, you know, on his run last year, I mean, I was on the tip one for this race on the postcard last year, actually. It would have been nice if the going was heavy rather than soft, then I'd actually be really, really keen on him, or if it's possibly over 6. But, you know, the more bottomless it is, the more it suits him than over every other horse. You know, on his form from last season, he's actually thrown in here. And, I'll at the prices, he's definitely worth an each way bet.
Okay, so that's 2 for Aberama Gold there. Graham, hat-trick up or something else?
It's incredibly difficult, this one, isn't it? I nothing would surprise me winning this. I thought the horse to be interesting was Cover Up because he didn't run too badly last time out in the Portland, and that race has worked out remarkably well, hasn't it? The runner-up Apollo 1 won at Ascot, and so did the fourth, Rumstar, on the same day. It was a related double. You know, you could have bet a nice touch if you'd been following the form of the Portland that day. And Cover Up was beaten less than five lengths by the winner, American Affair. So I think that was a really good run. And it's eye-catching that William Buick's riding for John and Fady Goslin. It is a Godolphin horse, of course, but nevertheless, that's obviously a plus. But in the back of your mind, there's got to be Willie Guy on the ground, because all of his best form is on fast ground, Cover Up. The Goslins must think he's going to handle it. His dam did win on soft to heavy ground in Ireland and recorded her two highest Racing Post ratings on soft and heavy ground. So there's a bit of hope in the pedigree. And if Cover Up does go on the ground, I think he's got a huge chance. But as I say, that's with the proviso if he goes on the ground. So it'd be my pick, Cover Up, but a not very confident one.
Okay, so Cover Up for Graham there. Very difficult race, as you say, Graham. If only John McConnell had a 5 furlong sprinter at Doncaster on Saturday, it'd be a lot easier.
I'd be on it, James, I tell you.
I'm sure you would. Right, and the final race at Doncaster is our final Group 1 of a flat season, the William Hill Futurity Trophy Stakes. Wimbledon Hawk Eye tops the betting, but we've also got stiff competition elsewhere. 5 of the last 7 winners of this race have gone on to an Ivra Classic in Britain and Ireland. Johnny, is there a classic winner in waiting in this lineup, and who's going to win on Saturday?
I'm not sure there is, to be honest. I mean, I think Wimbledon Hawkeye is obviously the most likely winner based on what we saw last time. I can't believe Royal Playwright's that much a bigger price than him, given he's only beaten a length and a half. I think, you know, if you're looking through it like that, I think he should be sort of, you know, in the mix for sort of second, third favourite around that region. I just think Hotter Sales form's pretty solid and run a big race. It's not a race that I'd be hugely keen to entertain, but yeah, I think Royal Playwright would have a good chance of finishing second behind Wimbledon Hawkeye again.
Okay, so Royal Playwright, speculatively each way, shout there from Johnny. Graham, where are you looking at?
I thought Hotter's Hell had the best form. James, you know, he's been competing in hot group races in Ireland. He's beaten by Henri Matisse, who's obviously a bit of a lunatic, but has got plenty of ability when he does want to put it all in. And then, last time out, won a group race, was at the Curragh, I think. To my eye, that's just about the best form on offer. I'd certainly be taking him over Wimbledon Hawkeye at double the odds. What I am worried about is there's obviously a few in here from top yards, and you just absolutely do not know how good they are. You know, horses like Royal Playwright, like I Know Dom and I, like Detain. Detain looked brilliant last time at Kempton. Mm-hmm. He blew me away that day. But then, you know, he was winning a novice race, and if you put Wimbledon Hawkeye in there, he might well have blown that lot away as well. So I'm going to suggest backing Hot Sale, because I think he's a real solid option. But it would not surprise me if something improved past him.
Okay, so Hot Ozell 11-2 for Graham. Taking on the top three in the market, are you going to do the same, Ed, or is there one better fancy you like the look of?
Well, there's one horse here that I've backed for next year's 2,000 guineas, my only anti-post bet I have currently. I have no other anti-post bets, National Hunt or flat, but I've backed Detain to win the 2,000 guineas next year at 20-1, and he's still around about that price. I'm not a shrewd judge or anything. I was just blown away, to use the exact same words as Graham, in that performance at Kempton. It was another Unibet-sponsored race. He won by, 9 lengths, was it? I can't remember exactly. But the time was really good. He had a penalty that day, and he still put in a really good time. And he did beat, he might have beaten Trees. Yeah, I mean, you're dead right. And if you put one or two of these horses in the race, you're quite right, he might have done the same. But he won by 7 lengths, and in a good time. And Kieran didn't have to move Schumach. It didn't have to. And I spoke to Kieran Schumach about the ride when I next saw him. And he just said he just did everything so effortlessly. He didn't even ask him. And he went 7 lengths clear. And he said he's definitely a stakes horse, which is obvious because he's running in a Group 1. And that was a novice. So it's a big step up. But if you're going to do it, why not do it at the end of the season and you'll know where you are for next year? So he's probably short in the betting if you're actually looking at it in terms of the ratings and what he's done, because he's £10 below Wimbledon Hawkeye, for instance. He's only 1.5 points bigger than him. But it was all to me to the eye, and I just sometimes you just see a horse do something and you think, God, I've got to follow that until it loses, and that was Detained for me. So I'll be watching that. I won't be having a bet on the race, but I'll be watching. I'll be watching it with interest. And I really hope to take Detain wins.
I'll tell you what, Ed, as well, sometimes you do see some good juveniles win at Kempton, don't you, around on the all weather there, you know, and Gogostan in particular.
Such as the Guineas winner this year.
Yeah, notable speech, did
absolutely.
It?
Yeah,
so notable speech, well, not a juvenile, but yeah. And Gosters do like to take them down there because it's good service and, you know, and yeah, so whereas before you would never think a horse that won at Southall or Lingfield would ever win a... They, if they run at Chelmsford or Kempton, they could be Group 1 contenders nowadays, I think.
Mm. Yeah, Kempton is the new Newcastle because that was the old place for the all-weather, wasn't it? And Abel and Stratford Areas, famously. But we turn our attention to...
1,000 years when it went, came from Southall, didn't you?
Yes, yes, exactly. Turn our attention to Newbury, where I'm sure they're wishing they had an all-weather track, given they've still got this inspection to pass. Seem very optimistic. It's a precautionary inspection, which means they're still raceable as it stands. And our first race is the Horace Hill, where, Ed Nicholson, we've got best industry price for Unibet.
Yep, so if you take a price at 9 o'clock on Saturday with us on any horse in this race, you'll get the best industry price. Please go to the site for the full terms and conditions, but we've been running that this the last kind of 6-7 months. It's been really popular with customers, so we'll keep on doing it through the National Hunt season. I've always loved this race because it's always running bottomless ground, and you get some interesting results here at the end of the season. Colts and geldings in this race over 7 furlongs. It's a really difficult race once again, but I'm a big fan of Yurug. Is that how you pronounce it, James? Yurug?
I believe so, yeah.
He's proven quite a hardy two-year-old, and his latest couple of runs has really put him in mind for this race and for even better things next year, I think. He won at Chantilly, I think, last time, didn't he? On really heavy ground. Top-rated horse in the race, 106. Before that, he won at soft at Haydock. So the soft and heavy ground conditions, we know that he already likes. Tom Marquand on board for William Haggis' team, who always seem to be going well. Yeah, I just thought this one was a bet for me. I'm going to back Yahoo.
Okay, Yahoo. Sure. Yeah, I think ground is going to be massively important on Saturday, and he's got proven form on it. Graham, are you with a favourite as well?
Sorry, which race are we going here?
We're on the Horace Hill.
The Horace Hill. Sorry, I'm looking at the other race. What did I like in the Horace Hill? Benevento for me, Raphael Frere, who of course has got a few of these, not Wethnern horses, are they? The Kia horses.
Ammo Racing,
just done loads of money at the sales, hasn't he, Kia? So could be a big player in the coming years. And Benevento, I thought, was... did it well last time, beat Symbol of Honour. He's quite a useful stick. And I think that, I'm hoping he'll go through the ground. Like you say, with the juveniles like this, at this time of year, on this sort of ground, that you're always guessing, aren't you? So, fingers crossed, if Benevento goes through the ground, I think that Benevento's the one to be on.
Okay, so Benevento, 11-4 for Graham. Johnny, where are you looking?
Okay, I mean, I think Benevento's got the best form in the race. There was, you know, yeah, whatever the Haggis horse has called. Thought, you know, won well on heavy ground, but I thought it was quite a weak race realistic contest. The big concern is, you know, in Benevento's three runs, the description of going is good. Whereas you look at Yurug as heavy, Make Smile heavy, Bob Marley heavy. You know, most of them have got soft and heavy in their form today. And that would be the concern, but I do think he's got much the best form in the race.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we move on to our final race, the 3:45, the Betvictor St Simon Stakes at Newbury. And it wouldn't be a Saturday at Newbury if Al Alzi wasn't turning up and running, would it? He is back for a bit more. He is the 11-10 favourite. Danielle, an interesting opposition from the Gosden stable. We'll start with you, Johnny. Al Alzi, are we for or against?
Well, I mean, I think he's the best horse in the race. But equally, I don't think I'm going to have a bet in the race. I mean, Danielle... You know, one really impressively visually at Weatherby, and you're talking about visual performances with that Kempton run 5 minutes ago. Danielle was one of those at Weatherby earlier in the season. Obviously, by all accounts, is definitely going to prefer going back to softer ground again. But, you know, it's going to have to take a step forwards. Salt Bay, yeah, I don't think he's quite good enough. Fading Madness, an interesting one, hasn't been seen since the, Blue Ribbon at Epsom. Not sure the reason there. Maybe the ground, if you look at his form last season, it's heavy and soft. And I think he's an interesting runner at the prices. But yeah, I'm not going to have a bet for him. I think Al Alzi should probably win the race.
Okay, so Al Alzi, the most likely winner, says Johnny. Ed, Al Alzi, yes or no?
Yeah, and honestly, I think he'll go off odds on myself. I think the horses that are nearest to him, he's beaten, like Sorbet. Danielle would be the one that you'd be worried about, definitely. That's not saying anything no one else can see because it's second favourite. But El Azzi, as you said at the top of the race preview, he loves Newbury. His form figures at Newbury, 1-1, 4-1, 2-1. He just loves the long straight. And I think that's key to him. And I think that's why he loses at Ascot, because there isn't a long straight at Ascot. And he's lost two Cumberland Lodges there, including last time out. And I mean, it's fairly long straight when you've got heavy going. So that probably shouldn't have been a softer going, shouldn't have been an excuse. But he wasn't given the greatest of rides last time, I don't think. Whether he would have won, I don't know. But I just love seeing him coming swinging off the bridle as he does at Newbury and just puts him to the sword. And he's not just the bridle horse, because he does put it down when he has to. So, yeah, on this ground with Jim Crowley, I mean, what a season Jim Crowley's having again. You know, the big race winner last week, he'll be on cloud nine. It's a long time ago since he fell at the first in the Grand National, isn't it? He's having a great season. And I just think everything, you know, he's the best horse in the race. He likes the ground. He loves Newbury. Yeah, it wins. Odds on, wins.
Simple as. Graham, you with him again?
I'm not, no. I am not a massive fan of El Azzi. He's got loads of ability. Not entirely sure that he wants to get down and dirty when it comes to it, James. You know, like if it really comes up in a slog on heavy ground at Newbury, I don't fancy him at all if he's got to work for it inside that final furlong. I mean, don't get me wrong, he might well just saunter away and win on the bridle. We've seen it time and time again. But I don't want to be backing horses at short prices that I think have to win on the bridle or they don't win. And that is how I feel about El Azzi. I just feel that if he doesn't win this on the bridle, he probably will not win. And there is a really good rival in there who can beat him, and that's Danielle. She looked sensational on soft ground earlier in the season at Wetherby, so much so that she was backed into being like favourite for the Oaks straight after that. And then she ran at Lingfield in Behind You Got To Me, of course, went on to win the Irish Oaks anyway. The form was pretty good that day. It was quick ground because Ambiente Friendly went and broke the clock later on in the card. And after the race, I think John Gosden said she absolutely loved the soft ground at Wetherby, and we need to look for those conditions again for her. And then he runs her twice more on good to firm ground. You know, just sometimes they say one thing, trainers, and they do the other. And that just don't make any sense to me. How can the Gosden turn around there and say, oh, we need to look for soft ground for her, and then run her twice more on good to firm ground? That makes no sense. But anyway, that's what he did. And she rammed poorly twice on fast ground. But I think you're going to see a totally different horse here on soft ground. I mean, she is slow, but she really is a strong stayer. And I tell you, if she gets El Azzi in the trenches, there's only one winner here, James, and it ain't El Azzi. So Danielle for me, and I'm quite strong on her.
Yeah, I think you wouldn't get that sort of campaigning. Go on.
Sorry, I think he's been a bit unfair on El Azzi. He has battled back. So, I mean, if you look at the Rose of Lancaster, he was in third inside the final furlong. He was given four or five smacks and got up and won. So I don't think he has to do it on the bridle, to be fair to him.
I'm not having it. He's soft. Soft.
All right, we'll see. We'll see on Saturday.
Fighting talk. That's what we want. That's exactly what we want. I'm with you partly there, Graham. I think if El Azzi was as straightforward as some of the other horses, he wouldn't be 11 to 10 as he is now. He'd be a lot shorter given how much ability he has. Should have won a Group 1 at his pomp, but still going on at the age of 7. So good to see him on Saturday, Danielle. The 3-2-1 second favourite, though, is what Graham is going for. We'll be back for naps and selections from elsewhere after this quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, we're going to see what the guys like from around the tracks this weekend. And Ed, it's going to be a big day for Unibet on Sunday. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, delighted that we've once again secured the sponsorship for the Unibet Middle Distance Chase Veteran Series. First series was last year. That went down really well. £100,000 final. We've got 8 races this year, slightly different in terms of you have to qualify to get into the final. Last year you didn't, but you have to qualify coming the first 4 in a qualifier. 8 races in total, 7 qualifiers, and then the final at Haydock in April. Won last year by Numitor, which is exactly the sort of horse we did it for. 2.5 miles, you've got to be 10, 11 or 12. And it was a chance for him to shine in the sun once more and for his owners to receive a pot of gold in the process. So he's running again, actually, in the first qualifier, which is at Wincanton on Sunday. And I love Numitor. He's 18 hands. He's a striking grade. Everybody loves him down at Heather Maines. And we actually went to the stable of Heather Maines to see how he's getting on for this year's contest.
And Numitor wins the Unibet series finale.
He's a gentle giant. He's 18 hands. He weighs 640 kilos. You can't even hardly get his bridle on. He's so big, but he's so gentle and lovely character. We have around 34, 35 horses in training. They're mostly flat other than Numitor's family.
Yep, so that's Numitor, and that'll be my selection, James, on Sunday.
Good. Yeah, and worth mentioning as well, that card on Sunday is Keegan Kirkby Memorial Race, a charity race before the action. Go check that out. Really good course there. Grant, got anything else for us this weekend?
Yeah, it's not a bad meeting over jumps at Kelso, James, and the Nutswell Handicap Chase, the 4:30, named after, of course, Nutswell, who's a grand old horse, isn't he? I think this could be won by Cannock Park, who caught my eye last season. They put him in a couple of big races. I think he finished 3rd in the Tolworth, the grade 1 that's now Aintree over Christmas. And he was, I think, back at Kelso, he ran in a graded race there over hurdles. But chasing's always looked like it was going to be his future. And he went off favourite on his chasing debut a couple of weeks ago at Hexham. He was disappointing, but he did travel quite nicely through the race. He jumped well, which is quite important when you're going over fences first time, of course. And then you're coming straight out of a novice chase, straight in against seasoned handicappers like he is here against Pay the Piper and El Barracho and horses like that. But he's got far more upside than the likes of Pay the Piper, and they're totally exposed. Whereas Cannock Park, you know, coming in just one run over fences, having competed in graded races over hurdles, if he puts in a sufficient round of jumping and improves for that reappearance at Hexham, I think he should be far too good for them. That's the 4:30 at Kelso, Cannock Park, the Nutswell Handicap Chase.
Good stuff, Graham. And his trainer, Paul Robson, of course, a part-time undertaker, so hopefully he'll leave him for dead, I guess. Johnny, what do we like?
I'm going to chance one on Friday. It's a 4:45 at Cheltenham. I think Orkin Risk, obviously won the Betfair Hurdle a couple of years ago. I think he's got a great chance. You know, if it's anywhere near that form, he's absolutely thrown in. You know, he ran well enough at Plumpton on debut. I think Chris Gordon's mostly needing the run. If he's anywhere near his best, he'll be winning this. You know, Chris and Freddie, his son, won the race last year, and I think they can go and do the same again.
Yeah, that's Orkin Risk in the 4:45 at Cheltenham for Johnny. And Ed, we've already done yours. So that leaves us to go on to our best bets for the weekend. We'll go back to you, Johnny. What do you like and what's your nap of the weekend?
Yeah, Butler's Secret in the 3:30 at Cheltenham. He will win.
There we go. Straightforward. Just as we like it. Butler's Secret in the 3:30 at Cheltenham. Graham?
I don't know if I mentioned that John McConnell's got a good record at this meeting, but he really does. I think he's had 9 winners from 50 at Cheltenham in recent years. Plenty of them at this meeting. So I'm with John McConnell trained, Moon d'Orange, who runs in the 4:05 at Cheltenham, the novice chase there. I mean, he, again, was competing last year in graded races over hurdles. He was 3rd behind Shanna Bob and Destroy the Evidence at the track last year. And Destroy the Evidence obviously came out and won a handicap chase at Chepstow quite recently. And I was quite taken with Moon d'Orange's chasing debut at Punchestown last time. I mean, he was no match for the winner Facile Mode and Touch Me Not. But I think the first two are pretty smart prospects. Facile Mode competed in 4 grade ones over hurdles last season as a novice and was a quite a smart bump horse. And it was no disrespect at all to finish third behind that horse and Touch Me Not, who's quite a lightly raced and promising individual. I think he was a distance clear of the rest of them. So it was a very, very solid chasing debut. And no doubt my man John McConnell will have him right for this one. So a bumper day for John McConnell. Moon d'Orange, 405 Cheltenham. That's my nap, James.
Yep, and that's going to be end of his four-timer on Saturday, according to Graham Broadway. Ed, what do we like? What's the nap?
Yeah, competitive days racing on the flat and over jumps, but my nap is coming at Cheltenham in the 2:55. It's Zane Ninth, Lucy Wadham's improving young hurdler, 4 from 7, won his last 3 since he's been stepped up to 3 miles. I think he'll just keep on rolling, and he won't even be favourite. So I think it's a good price for Zane Ninth in the 2:55 at Cheltenham.
Yeah, that's 11-2 Zane Knights in the Potemps. And my nap will be Lord of Thunder for Joe Tizard in the first. A lot of you mentioned there that it's first time over fences. The Tizards always jump well on their first start over fences. If ever, say, pound for pound for a trainer, if you're going to go first time, they're usually the ones to be on. So I'm no worries about that. Love the ground, improving horse, and they do like him very much. So thank you very much to our panel, Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson. You can catch us next week at 7 p.m. on Thursday for a very special show. Not only have we got top class jump racing, but of course we've got Breeders' Cup with City of Troy. The Breeders' Cup turf looks an absolute belter. So many good races to get through. As ever, do let us know what you fancy this weekend and rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. And until next time, enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.